Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the new screensavers is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
The new screensavers is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your house. Go to ring.com/NSS and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit. And by WordPress. Your customers want to find you, so build a WordPress.com website and help them connect with your business. Get 15% off any new plan purchase at WordPress.com/NSS.
Aujourd'hui, nous allons revoir le iPhone 8, le Note 8, donner à manger aux chiens en utilisant Your Doggies, Smart Scoop, et nous allons jouer à Cuphead en direct des studios Tweet de Eastside dans la ville superbe de Petaluma. Voici les nouveaux screensavers.
Les serveurs des écrans, je m'appelle Léo Laporte. Very nicely done. I came back from France. I thought we should do everything on Twit in French. You don't mind, Megan Moran?
Oui. That's all I got. I got through sophomore year French. That's about as far as I got.
Actually, we will talk about the Nintendo Wii a little bit later. They're shutting down the server, you know, next...
What?
Yeah. That was the big thing, right, a few years ago. Now...
Je suis triste.
So, we have a big show coming. This is going to be a lot of fun. First of all... I'm back. You probably didn't notice, but I am. And thank you to who filled in for Robert Ballasier,
right, and Patrick Norton,
and then
Rich DeMuro.
Rich DeMuro did this show
with Jason Howell.
Two tall guys.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to relight the whole studio?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thank you to Rich and Jason and Father Robert and Patrick for filling in the last couple of weeks. But I'm thrilled to be back, and especially with you.
It's nice to do this with you.
So I like doing this show with people who were on the old screensavers.
Mm-hmm. I was on the old, almost 20 years
It'll be
ago.
20 years, May 11th of next year
what?
Is our 20th anniversary of the first screensavers show.
I just got a tweet, someone tweeted me, said, were you on that Tech TV show? It's so great that you're still with Leo, and he admitted he had a crush on me, and now he's like 30 years old.
Isn't that sweet? I feel like, though, that this is going to rapidly wind up. Like, the people who remember the shows are going to die, and that'll be it. It'll be over, right? No? Because I got today on the radio show, like, four or five people said, I used to watch the screensaver. It's like, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, I want people to say things like, oh, I remember you from Twit.
Yeah. Some people do. Anthony used to watch the show, and he's still a young man. He's still, sort of.
So coming up, we're going to have a little showdown. We've got the eights, two different eights, or as our fabulous, I should actually give her credit, because she did that in French so well. Christelle. Is that how you say it? Christelle did it. She's from the fabulous medieval French town of Cupertino. should see the Cupertino Cathedral. It's gorgeous. Some people call
it
the Apple Campus. she said the wheats. It's the battle of the mm-hmm. wheats, the eights. We've got mm-hmm. the new iPhone 8. You've got yours. Mm-hmm. I have mine, too, for mm-hmm. that matter. And then we're going to show the new Note 8.
Yeah, and they can share a charger, finally.
I'm using your charger to mm-hmm. charge up my Note 8. Mm-hmm. So we'll give you kind of a head-to-head if you're thinking of both of them. And we don't have the iPhone 10 yet, but when that comes out, I'm hoping we'll be able to get one. It doesn't look like it's going to be too easy to get. Apparently, because the problem is Romeo and Juliet. Did you see that? You didn't see that? There are two components. The face recognition, there's two components. And Apple has cleverly... I thought they should have called them frickin' frack, but they call them Romeo and Juliet. Wow. And apparently, one of them, I think it's Juliet, is production's not going well.
Mm-hmm.
So without Juliet, there's no Romeo. And without... There it is. This was a Wall Street Journal scoop a couple of days ago. So... We'll see. I'll try as hard as I can to get one, and I'm sure you will too. But meanwhile, iPhone 8 is the current iPhone. We've got a new product out here called Yeah Doggy. Which you're a customer of.
I am a customer. I was convinced they stalked my dog on Twitter, and I am now I would like to subscribe to everything.
It's dog food subscription.
Dog food subscription service, okay. But they've got some tech in there. They've hidden some
there's
tech.
There's an app. There's a smart scoop. We're going to show you all of that. Mm-hmm. We have a call for help. He's actually in studio with us, Michael Collins. He's going to ask us about transferring from a Mac to a PC.
Mm-hmm. Going back and forth.
Oh, he wants to go back and forth. Mm-hmm. Oh, round tripping, as we call it. Jason Howell's got a review of another DJ thing, the DJ to go. We're going to have reviews of two new games, one of which I'm very excited about, Cuphead.
I also played a little Cuphead. It is very difficult. I would rather just sit back and watch and listen to the amazing soundtrack.
And how it looks. And anyway, Father Robert will talk about that and Splasher as well. But meanwhile, the hot topics, I guess the topic that's been galvanizing the attention of the world over the last few days, big, big story, Twitter is going to allow you to use 280 characters.
Oh, gosh. Are you bored of the 280 tweets?
I am amazed how upset people are about this.
Yeah.
Like, it matters. As we know, and this is Jack Dorsey, who was one of the founders of Twitter. As we know, the reason for 140 characters is text messages were limited to 160 characters. And they, for some reason, I guess he said Biz had 161, and I had so they decided to use 140 characters. And that's actually done very well over the last few years.
It makes people be succinct. It makes people look back over their tweets.
Twitter is 10 years old. It's almost 11 years
old. Yeah, almost 11 years old.
So this is a big change. Some people are upset. I'm reading the headline. Who wrote this one? Twitter proved its priorities are screwed up.
Edgar Alvarez from Engadget.
With just 280 characters.
Okay, so here's what I think about the 280 characters. I think it lets people be a little nicer. You know, sometimes people are mean on Twitter because they don't have enough characters to say, please stop that, or can you?
You can't say please.
It leaves more room for a little more context.
Yeah.
And I also think then with 280 characters, it leaves more room for people to write more things that are more confusing and need more context.
I think also you'll have fewer tweet storms, which are very annoying.
Yeah.
People do 15 tweets in a row because they can't fit it all in 140 characters. This seems like such a minor thing, and yet it's always the smallest things that people have the biggest opinions about, right? Everybody can have opinion about this. It's easy.
People hate change.
What to do about North Korea? That's hard.
Yeah.
What to do, Twitter? And so some people said, oh, no, what we really should do is have an edit button. That's hard, by the way, and I understand why Twitter doesn't do that. Or what we should really do is just not count characters in links. That would solve it. I don't care. Who cares? 280 characters. Wonderful.
Okay, well,
do you have it yet?
I don't have it yet either. And my argument is, I think the big problem with Twitter is that 140 characters or 280 characters, there are some discussions that are not made. 280 characters are not enough.
People are shoehorning. I've said this from day one. People are shoehorning stuff into Twitter that doesn't belong on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like conversations.
Right.
Makes no sense to me, but people do it. And that's, in fact, one of the number one uses is this back and forth. And I agree with you. It's one of the reasons people get all excited and upset and flame each other, because it just doesn't lend itself to that very well.
No. Well, Clive Thompson from Wired said everyone should have a random amount of characters and you never know until tweeting.
I like that.
I like that, too.
We'll see. Twitter has, of course, because of President Trump, has assumed a lot more importance in our lives than it used to have. So maybe this is a big story.
I think you're exactly right. North Korea is hard. 280 characters is easy. We like easy.
Everybody can have an opinion on that. IKEA bought TaskRabbit. I interviewed Leah Busk, the founder of TaskRabbit, on Triangulation about 5 years ago. Really nice, smart person. She actually had kind of moved on. But this is, we don't know how much IKEA paid. TaskRabbit had raised about $50 million. I'm sure they paid more than that. I would guess that everybody got a nice big payday. But why does IKEA want? Let me explain what TaskRabbit does, by the way. Have you ever used it?
I tried to use it once when I was going to get a service to help clean a friend's house who was sick. Right. And it was very expensive. So we went with just like another regular maid service.
It was one of the first of these. And now there's a lot of them, including maid services and massages and stuff. Mm-hmm. The idea is you've got chores to do and you can offer on the app, you know, a certain amount of money. You pick the amount of money and say, I want this chore to be done. It turns out one of the number one chores was assembling IKEA furniture. And, I mean, I'm not kidding. This sounds like a joke, but it actually was. In fact, if you've ever assembled IKEA furniture, you'd probably be willing at this point to pay anything to have somebody else do that. So it makes sense that IKEA should buy this. In fact, IKEA had a partnership earlier with them. So this makes sense. And I think good for them and good for Leia. I hope she made a lot of money.
Well, what I don't understand is why don't people just then buy furniture that's already put together?
You know, there's an interesting theory, and I think this comes from the Freakonomics, Stephen Levitt, the Freakonomics folks, that if you invest so much time and energy in building something, you feel better about it. You kind of own it. It's one of the reasons IKEA has been so successful is they don't pre-assemble it. They make you invest time and energy into doing that, which makes you love it more.
Right.
Does that make sense?
I did listen to that podcast too. But does that work if you get a TaskRabbit to do it? Oh, well, I went on this app and I found someone who would do it for me.
I actually got my brother-in-law to do it.
Oh, I got my kids to do it. Like, that's why you have kids. Put together my Billy bookcases here.
Oh, that's neat. Mm-hmm. Did they do a good job?
They did a great job. That's nice. They fought a lot, but...
Yeah, that's why I don't do IKEA furniture. You definitely don't want to do it with your spouse.
No.
Because it's the end of a marriage. Better the TaskRabbit does it. Finally, what was the one? I didn't write it down.
Elon Musk.
Oh, Elon Musk.
The big rocket. The big friendly rocket,
I feel like Elon is rapidly becoming the Donald Trump of innovators. He just throws stuff out and says, work on it. Work on it. But this one he's going to do, right? His idea is, why take a jet to Shanghai that takes 12 hours when you could take a rocket that takes only an hour?
Well, technically, you're taking a spaceship. The rocket launches the spaceship. The rocket is the power, and then it launches you.
Now, you might say, well, I could think of a few reasons. One, I'm not a freaking astronaut, but two... it's got to cost a mint, but he says no, it should cost about the same as an economy class ticket on an airplane.
Yeah.
Three, rockets sometimes blow up. That's got to be solved.
Yeah. Well, what I think about Elon Musk is he has in equal parts crazy ideas to crazy ideas that
he
actually do work.
He thinks we're going to be on Mars in 5 years. That's not possible.
No. But he did create reusable rockets that went into space and then landed back down. That is pretty amazing.
I love it. He's Tony Stark. We're living in a wild world. He came up with a Hyperloop idea, which is basically sending humans through pneumatic tubes. Here's the SpaceX launch platform. You couldn't put it in a city, obviously, because you don't want to launch rockets in Midtown Manhattan. Mm. So you have to take a boat out to this spaceport. There's no way I'm doing this. And then you get in it. Now, by the way, you're going to have 3 or 4, 5, maybe 6 Gs launching in a rocket. There's no way they can slowly launch a rocket. So you're going to be pressed firmly against the back of your seat.
Your brains will turn to jelly.
You're going to be up there in space where there's no oxygen. And then you got to, this is the easy part. Whoosh. An hour late, not even an hour.
No, under an hour. Anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the
under
world.
An hour.
Because how long does it take to orbit the Earth?
Right.
90 minutes. So anywhere, you could go around the world in 90 minutes. And then this is going to be the fun part. The rocket is going to land in Shanghai on that platform, and then you'll get in a boat. The problem is, that's not the problem. The problem is, the boat's going to take an hour and a half to get out to the platform. I guarantee you. And then there's going to be waiting. There's going to be the TSA search. I guarantee you, you might as well just fly. You might as well just fly. But anyway, nice. I think it's great that he exists.
And he also wants to go to Mars, too. And he showed off some colonization ideas.
I love Elon. You know I drive a Tesla. Mm-hmm. I love Elon because he's... I think he doesn't think this is real. He thinks we're in a game.
He did say it was a simulation. You mean, yes. Yeah, we all are in a simulation.
If you really think life is just a simulation, hey, say whatever you want. Doesn't matter, right?
He did admit that it was aspirational. Like, it's ass something. I'm not exactly sure.
Wow. Megan, what? You've been hanging around me too long.
Yes.
Okay, coming up in just a bit, we're going to talk about subscription dog food, but custom dog food just for you and your pet. You've got your review of the iPhone 8. I've got the Note 8. I have an iPhone 8, too. We'll answer some questions. First, though, I'm so glad they sent us these because I've been wanting to show everybody this. This is the Ring floodlight camera. And this is so cool. Now, you've all had one of these. I'm sure you've seen them, if not. The spotlights that light, motions detector. You know, you have this on the side of your house. You walk down to empty the trash. This lights up for you. That's nice. But this is the Ring floodlight cam. Look at this. So the idea here is you not only have these automatically triggered lights, you have a camera, motion sensor, microphone, and speaker. So you're sitting. I love the video I saw the other day. She's getting her nails done, and she's sitting, and somebody goes, do you have that? Yeah, is this it? Somebody goes in her backyard. Now, she's sitting there in the salon. The phone goes, somebody's in your backyard. It's lit up. Now, normally that's not going to stop an attacker, but she says, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing there? If he doesn't run away, you trigger a 110 decibel alarm. That red light goes off. No one's going to stick around. This is the best security. Even works against deer. Oh, look, you can even see him from the front door with your Ring video doorbell. Ring has got it going on. Whether you're at home or away, you are always keeping an eye on what's going on at your house. It's the ultimate in home security, high visibility floodlights, powerful HD camera. Wall Street Journal said the best of CES 2017, and we've got a great deal for you. With the Ring of Security Kit, it's up to $150 off. You choose, get a Ring doorbell, because everybody, I mean, that's just like table stakes. Everybody ought to have a Ring doorbell. And one, two, or three floodlight cams, and you get up to $150 off when you go to Ring, RING.com/NSS. With Ring, you're always home. You know, we're in France. And you know, Michael's at home. We're keeping an eye. We know when he comes and goes. We know what's going on. Lisa was looking at the cats. She says, I don't see Sam. I don't see Paris. I see Sammy. I see him. She was checking out what the cats are doing. Ring is amazing, and we're doing it in France. Ring.com/NSS for up to $150 off your Ring of Security kit. All righty. Now, I just got home, so I literally just got my iPhone 8 Plus. I got white. I have to say, the new quick start thing is great. Did you do that on yours?
Yeah, it's like how you would switch over your stuff from an Apple Watch. You just shoot it.
You take a picture, and then it just sees it, and I didn't even have to connect it to a computer or anything. It transferred everything over. Then it does download the apps again, so it's going to take a while before they're all downloaded. But basically, my phone is instantly set up. I loved that.
You don't have to download all the apps. You can. I always start fresh.
You don't do that, but I did because I had it all. You know, I have all my folders set up every way I want.
I got to. You know me, the digital cleanse.
I know. She's the queen of cleansing. So, but basically, I got it this morning, but I haven't had it long enough to really know. Is it better than the 7? Is it worth buying? But you've had it for how long? A week now, right?
I've had it, I guess maybe 2 weeks or a week.
You got a week.
We know each other so well.
Friday.
Yeah, last Friday.
Yeah, so
yes,
so
last
week
Friday.
And a day.
So a week and a day. I like it a lot.
Show us which one you got.
I got the Space Gray one. Okay. So it's the Plus, and it attracts fingerprints.
It really does.
It does.
The white is not so bad with the fingerprints. No. Look, see?
Yeah. I'm kind of regretting my choice.
But you got the only one that has a black front.
Yes, and that's why I did that, though.
And I don't blame
you. The bezels.
And also with the black, with the white front, you see all the doohickeys.
Yeah,
on it,
you don't see any doohickeys.
No,
doohickey free.
Yeah.
I really like it. I was upgrading from the old-fashioned 7 Plus.
So old. So a year old, huh?
So, and if you hadn't told me to buy it, honestly, I probably wouldn't have.
That's key. If you were spending, and that's the question to ask, if you were spending your own money, right?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm spending your money, I'll buy everything.
Right.
If I'm spending my money, no, the 7 Plus.
Don't think I didn't notice.
The 7 Plus would have been just fine. The only thing that it does, are you doing the portrait mode?
I'm doing the new portrait mode, yeah.
So the portrait mode is new. 7 Plus has portrait mode, but do you want me to stop and smile?
I'm doing a panorama of you. I don't want to do a panorama.
No, please don't.
No, panorama is a bad idea. So this is natural light. Okay, so that's just like what it would normally be.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do I change this?
You scroll up, push up, and then go over. Like slide over like you were going to.
That's a weird.
Other way. That's other way. So then
now this is studio lighting. That is different.
And you have to
it?
Wait till it turns yellow. See, I'm too far away. It would turn. It would go off yellow.
And
see?
This is contour light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then.
And that's stage
that's
light.
Stage light.
Now I have to take a picture before it does it. Is that right?
You have to take a picture before it does it, but you can edit it afterwards.
Okay. Now it's doing something. It's thinking. See,
it
it's
is,
going around.
Yeah.
So it takes a little while, and this okay. is the final.
Perfect. That is the you really caught the essence of me, I think. Try the studio light. Okay, put that away. Try the studio light mono, which is black and white. And
oh, does, I do
that
like
does
that.
Amazing things.
Because I'm a fan. I'm a fan of mono.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
uh-huh.
let's. Okay. So you put your. So for some reason, what I got to get your face in the
yeah.
in the circle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to take that. That's good. At least you were smiling in that one. It does take a little while to press. Oh, that's... Your
yeah.
face is so bright, though.
It is. You could edit it a little bit. You
okay.
could... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I guess the point is, this is cool. It's doing this all computationally.
That's the one I took of you. It's much better. I think my camera's better. I've had a little more time to practice with it. Thank you.
I feel like it's... okay, it's computational photography, right? Because it
right.
did what you would have to take some time to do in Photoshop or whether take the background out.
But you can edit that after.
But the results are... Okay, so you can I fix it and make
yeah,
it better?
Yeah, you can. I mean, you can change it. You can do the different lighting afterwards.
Mm.
So you just hit edit like you were going to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you do
I can change the...
Well, you pull up the
I
same...
I put it back in color or...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's nothing going to save this picture. I think it's just... sometimes you just, you know, you just got to punt.
Mm-hmm. True.
All right. I think the thing that's important about this is... computational photography,
mm-hmm.
right? These are essentially similar cameras to the cameras in the iPhone 7. But and by the way, the iPhone 7 can do this too, right? Should I try it with the iPhone 7?
Well, the iPhone 7 has portrait mode, but it doesn't have studio
light.
It doesn't have contour
light. Okay.
It doesn't have, and you can't edit the portraits after.
So you need the horsepower in the iPhone 8.
Yes.
Okay.
And the other thing the iPhone 8 has is wireless charging. So instead of having to mess with it, you just...
And Apple sells a great variety of Apple wireless chargers,
mm-hmm.
right?
They do.
No, they don't. They don't make one.
They do sell them on their website.
They don't make one, but they sell other people's.
They sell the Mophie and the Belkin.
They announced that they're going to do one.
Right, next year. So this they give you the choice of the Mophie and the Belkin.
$60 for the Mophie.
And since I was spending your money, I thought, okay, well, I'm going to pay $60 for the Mophie.
How much is the Belkin?
This one, when I was spending my money is $12.
See, and I like this because it's I like the easel thing. See, that's a good price, and it charges it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to point out, this is not an Apple innovation. In fact, they're pretty much the last manufacturer to put wireless charging in. However, it's nice. They couldn't do it with last year's iPhone because it had a metal back in that.
Yeah.
That's why they have a glass back.
Right, that's it. Can I tell you a don't do what I did?
What'd
story?
You do?
Okay, so I have a wonderful Sinu car mount. That's magnetic.
Yeah.
And so you put the magnet inside the, you know, you put it should be right there where that magnet stain is.
Yeah.
I had it there.
Yeah.
And then the first time I tried to charge with the magnet for my car mount,
it blocks it.
It blocked it. Yeah, it won't work when it's on there.
Well, that is something to be aware of. In general, with wireless charging, some cases will inhibit it or slow it down or maybe keep it from working entirely.
But this case was fine without it. So I had to rip that
off
this beautiful suede and move it down. And
nobody's
now it's just.
See that. That's right.
Yeah, well, like Steve Jobs, no one sees the inside of a computer, but you know what it looks like inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can feel that you made a big. So don't do that.
Don't do what?
Don't put a magnet inside your case if you want to wireless.
Just remember that the wireless part is what in the middle here.
Yeah, the coil. Yeah,
the coil.
Mm-hmm.
So the inductance coil is here, so don't block that with metal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good to know. And you know, most thin cases will not be a problem. I presume an OtterBox will work okay.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard anybody having any problems with that.
I like wireless charging. It's slower, although Apple does support fast charging. Is it pretty fast?
It's very fast.
Okay.
And we didn't talk about the video. It takes 4K in 60 frames per second.
Frames per second.
That's
4K.
New.
That's good.
And you can, what else? The Retina HD, the True Tone. Do you like the True Tone?
True Tone.
True Tone is new.
When you first set it up, it says, do you want True Tone or not?
Yeah. You
and
say,
then, okay.
Why not? I want everything true.
Why wouldn't you want it?
Right. So True Tone adjusts with the light that you're around you.
Yeah,
to.
We've had this on the one of the iPad Pros.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Had it. Now the new iPad Pro has it.
So it's just good for your eyes, which is good once you get to a certain age.
Yeah. It doesn't blow me away, but okay. Yeah.
The graphics is really pretty good. I really like it. I downloaded this game called Flower. Where's the best place to put this?
This new A11 processor is really fast. In fact, in some benchmarks, it's going to be as fast as your MacBook Pro. It's that fast. Mm-hmm. I have to point out that most of the things you do on an iPhone aren't going to seem slow, even on a 5S. But on the other hand, if you're playing games, especially games with a lot of elements going mm-hmm. on, you might want a faster iPhone.
I should have set this up already.
What are you doing?
It's a game that is very graphics intensive.
Flower.
You are a flower, and you fly through the air.
Did you feel like your old iPhone was slow? Your 7?
No, I did not feel that way.
Yeah. See, I mean, Apple. It's amazing what Apple's doing with custom silicon. This has a custom GPU, a custom ARM chip, the A11. What do they call it? A11 Fusion?
Mm-hmm, the Fusion chip.
Fusion. It's not actually Fusion going on in there, but it's, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that's amazing. And they're designing these chips. You can't think of any other manufacturer that's putting that much effort into a phone. But on the other hand, I don't know if people really feel like the phone's slow. The biggest thing, I guess, is without the A11, you can't do those port. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, that's pretty good for a phone to carry around in your pocket.
Yeah, I guess.
I think.
So the real question we have to answer is, who should buy an iPhone 8 Plus or an 8? You're using 8
I
Plus.
Think if you are upgrading from the 6.
Six or older.
Six or, well, I mean, or yeah, or older.
Six
yes.
or older.
Six or like.
But if you had a 6S?
I don't think you need to. And then if you.
Seven?
And if you want the cutting edge, fastest phone, you're going to wait for the 10.
Which I think also is not going to be. Okay, so we don't have it yet. And no. We won't have it probably till next year at this rate. But I think there's going to be the same question. Well, which should I get, the 8 or the 10? And I think a lot of people, judging from what I've seen, are waiting. They're not going to get the 8, and they want to get the 10. But that the 10 is basically this, with an OLED screen with a weird-looking notch, and no fingerprint reader, face recognition instead. I like the fingerprint reader. It works really well. I guess if you really want a giant screen, I frankly think if you have a 7 or a 7 Plus, you don't really need the 8, and you really don't need the iPhone 10. Unless you want these, frankly, little additional features, the face recognition, the photo capabilities, the bigger screen, the OLED screen. And none of those add up to spending $1,000 for a brand new phone.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
I don't think there's anything wrong with this. If you have an older iPhone, you're right, a 6 mm-hmm. or earlier, this would probably be a worthwhile upgrade. And we said this last year, it's probably not worth the upgrade unless you have an older phone.
Right.
Last year's phone to this, I don't know. Now, Josh, who has the, and a lot of people do this, Josh and our, who's an Apple fanatic, has that automatic upgrade thing, mm-hmm. right? He's waiting for a 10 because he says, well, the 8's not enough of an upgrade, so I want to wait for the 10. We'll see when the 10 comes out whether that's going to be a worthwhile upgrade.
It is an interesting moment that we have here because they've never done this before. They've never released two high-end phones at the same time.
Stock market's acting as if it was a bad idea.
Yeah.
I was concerned. Remember, during the event, boy, they can now have a lot of phones. Mm-hmm. They have the SE, the 5S, the SE, the 6, the 6S, the 7, the 7, and the 8, and now they're going to have the 10. That's a lot of SKUs, and that's a very interesting way of playing it. It's kind of like Apple did the iPods, where it had once the iPod got mature, it had a whole bunch of form factors. Not sure. I think this is going to confuse people. I really do.
And that every year upgrade thing, that's kind of a trick for many people. My dad did that, and he had the 64 gigabyte model, yeah. and they didn't have that in the 7.
So he had to get
He had to pay more. And so, yeah, there's always going to be. And
there's
I'm assuming you're going to have to pay more for the iPhone 10
so
as well.
So that's one other choice you're going to have to make, 64 or 256 gigs. Mm-hmm. That's a big difference between the two.
Yeah.
What did you get? With my money.
I got the 256 gig.
Of course you did.
Why else?
If it's your money, that's a tough one.
It's very nice to not have to think about storage at all. Yeah. It really is. So thank you.
So wireless charging, improved camera, faster processor. What do you think?
I think anyone who has a 5... six.
A11 Bionic. Fusion's last year. A10 Fusion.
Fusion's in the iPad.
It's Bionic.
Oh, yeah. Bionic. No. Bionic, yes.
Bionic.
Did that sound like the Bionic Man?
I get it.
Yeah.
All right.
I had a Bionic Man Barbie doll back in the 70s.
I don't think they called it a Barbie doll.
I did.
If best, it would be a G.I. Joe.
I'm going to check that. I think that's what I had. Who knows?
We live in an interesting times because you have a lot of choices. This is the Note 8, which came out roughly the same time, another 8th generation phone. This one from Samsung. This is an OLED screen, and it is, like the iPhone 10, a full-size screen. They're very little bezels. Samsung, I think, did the right thing with the top. Instead of cutting a notch in there, they just stopped the screen at a little bit before the end so they have room for the camera and the speaker. Of course, remember, Apple's putting a lot more in this top bar. Basically, they're putting a Kinect in here with face recognition. But I think this is a beautiful screen. It's probably the best screen on the market today. And we'll look when the 10 comes out, but I would bet you it's pretty close. Very similar in terms of capabilities. The camera is a 12-megapixel dual-lens camera, very much like the iPhone 8. Optical image stabilization in both lenses, just like the iPhone 8, or 8 Plus, I guess I should say. It has a portrait mode that isn't as good as Apple's iPhone 8 mode. It's a real-time portrait mode. I'll show you. By the way, this is the Samsung. Hey, there's Alex. A clean lens. By the way, I'll explain why they remind you to clean the lens in a second. But this bothers me. So the camera launches, and the only controls I see here are Bixby Vision, which I never want to use. That's the thing where you take a picture of something and it tells you what it is.
So you can buy it?
Thanks, Bixby. Yeah, I guess. And stickers. What I really want is some more, like video and other features. And you slide them in. I really hate this, too. Apple's doing this, too, with the slidey stuff where you have to figure out. But anyway, we'll slide it in. But let me go into the portrait mode if I can figure out how. I'm sure there's a way to do it here. All right, here we go. Now, I'm going to take a picture of you. Oh, let's flip it around.
I'll try to keep my eyes open this
let's
time.
Flip it around. We're in the selfie mode. Where are you? No, that's me. There we go. Okay. Now I'm going to do in live focus. This is their version of it. And what you do is you slide. It doesn't look any better, but you slide. You can slide this. No, it's very subtle, but let me get a little farther away from you. A little farther away from you. See the thing in behind her? Now it's in focus. Now it's not in focus. Look at that. Now it's in focus. Now it's not in focus. That's it.
Oh, while you're
Yeah, it does it in real time. Oh. And you can do it after you take the picture as well. Not a selling point. However, a very, very good camera. I would say roughly on a par with the 8. And I'm basing that not on pictures I've taken with the 8 because I haven't had my 8 long enough. But pictures I've seen, Andy Anako's doing a lot of iPhone 8 pictures. They're both, let's put it this way, they're both excellent cameras. Mm-hmm. The Note is has some features that are unique, certainly better than the iPhone. It's got a headphone jack. That's wonderful. I really like that.
And have you used it?
Yeah, I use it all the time because I charge the like on the airplane, right? I don't want to use the iPhone in the airplane because I want to charge it while I'm listening, and I'd have to get a special dongle, et cetera. Whereas I just plug in my headphones, the headphone jack, it works great. Type-C charging, which is more universal than Lightning, and I like that. Although if you're in the Apple ecosystem, you probably have both Type-C and Lightning. The negatives on this phone are primarily the fingerprint reader. So Apple had a problem, and apparently Samsung wanted to do the same thing Apple did, with getting a fingerprint reader that would work through the screen. So Samsung once again put their fingerprint reader on the back. I wish they'd do what Google and everybody else does by putting it right in the middle, right there where it says Samsung. But instead they put it right next to the camera. And that's why that warning. Because half the time when you do the fingerprint reader, you touch the camera. So the warning is you might want to clean off your camera before you take a picture. Because your fingerprints are all over it. It's also a funny shape. It's square. That's not the shape of my finger. But it's fast and it works. And this also has face recognition and iris recognition. Neither of which I use because they're not as fast. I like fingerprint recognition. In fact, that's one of the reasons I probably will prefer the iPhone 8 over the iPhone 10, just because I want that fingerprint reader. Beautiful screen, big screen. It does have, as all notes do, a stylus. And I love the stylus because it lets you draw, it lets you write. You can even, I'll put it back in the stylus back in and show you, one of the nice features that's new in the Note 8 over previous notes, if I pop it out while the screen is locked, I'll get a note mode, and I can write on the screen, take notes, and I can even do it over 100 pages of notes. So I don't, my handwriting, as you can see, is terrible. But
is that words?
Yeah, I'm taking notes. But it is nice that you can do that, and you can you can do drawing and so forth without even unlocking it. They've done a nice job, I think, of integrating the pen. It does have, again, the Edge stuff, which I turn off immediately. But if you're a fan of that, you do have the Edge. It also has, you know, this kind of this Edge screen, which can do various things. It also has the Bixby button, which is completely worthless. That's a button that you press to launch a special assistant named Bixby. Come on, Bixby. This is the newest feature of the Note 8. You can turn that off. So my Bixby button is no longer working. I'll have to turn it back on again. Yeah, it's nice, except that what I really want to do is not just turn it off, but maybe assign it to something else. But Samsung did just push out an update that lets you turn off the Bixby button. Bixby is not exactly a duplicate of Google. You do have the Google OK Google stuff on here, the Google Assistant stuff on here. But Bixby is more about getting apps to run, interacting with apps, things like that. I have to say that is different enough that maybe you would want both, but it's also a learning curve. You have to learn what Bixby can and can't do and kind of get used to doing it. And I feel like people are challenged enough with a single voice assistant. Having multiple voice assistants is really kind of a specialty. So the Bixby button, why add a hardware button for something nobody wants? But at least we can turn it off. But yeah, and I'm not crazy about that. So I'll knock them down for the Bixby button, the weirdly placed fingerprint reader. But otherwise, this is a fantastic phone. It's a Snapdragon 835, so it's very fast. Not as fast in benchmarks as the iPhone 8. Nothing's as fast as the A11 Bionic. That's an amazing processor. But I point out again, it's fast enough to do everything I want to do with it. They do have the, and we should mention they're a sponsor, the Snapdragon Gigabit LTE chip in here, which means with the right network, and most American networks now are going to start to support this, T-Mobile does now, this is what this one's on, you get really fast LTE. I like that. That's something Apple's not doing because, as you know, they're feuding with Qualcomm right now, and so they're doing their own thing. I would say if you are an Android user, if you don't mind the changes that Samsung makes to the Android interface, some of them are really great. Some of them are a little strange. This is an excellent phone, which I highly recommend. Yes, wireless charging, high-speed wireless charging. No, nobody else is doing styluses. I think there's one other phone with styluses. Samsung does that really great. So if you're a freehand artist or you like to take notes with penmanship, it's great. It's a good-looking phone. Glass back, just like the iPhone, which means you're probably going to want a case for it. I definitely recommend this. If you know you like Samsung, you know you like... I've had an Every Note since they came out. I'm a big Note fan. This is a suitable phone for anybody who likes Android or likes Samsung or likes the Note family. Battery life, very good. 3,300 milliamp hour. It's as good, I would say, as the iPhone 8. Maybe even a little bit better. Been getting very good battery life out of this. So I would say a definite buy for this. Because nobody has it. Last year's Note, we had to turn our Note 7s mm-hmm. in. So if you're upgrading from a two-year-old Note 5, this is a very much of a worthy upgrade. Really nice phone. And boy, you got to love that screen. And this heralds the future. This is what Apple's going to do eventually with the iPhone 10.
I like bezels.
Giant screen.
I like my bezels.
You don't mind bezels?
I like them. It's not just that I don't mind them.
I have to say, if I have a choice between having a fingerprint reader in a proper position, I would probably choose the bezels. I agree with you. I don't mind bezels so much. We're used to them now. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, boy, that OLED screen is gorgeous. And that's what we're going to see on the iPhone 10 as well. It's just really stunning screen. So definitely a thumbs up if you're interested in the Samsung Note 8. Very nice phone. And I think if you're ready to upgrade your iPhone, the iPhone 8 is a good choice. We like the 8 Plus because it has those dual lenses.
Yeah.
Optical image stabilization in both lenses right now. Thank you for the review. We will continue to talk about these new phones on iOS today. We got one coming up Tuesday. And by then, I will have the new Apple Watch Series 3. That's coming tomorrow. So I'll have a first look at that on Tuesday on iOS today. You didn't get the 3?
I did not get the 3.
Yeah. Anybody get the 3 here? No?
No, Serenity came on, and she had a good review. She came on in your place last
And she liked week. It.
Well, she likes it.
There's issues with it, like the connectivity issue.
Yeah, there were, she had some issues.
You got to pay $10 more a month to your cell carrier. Yeah. And I'm not sure you're going to use. How often are you going to make phone calls from your watch?
Right? What she really liked, she said it's much faster. A lot of things are
that
a lot
will
faster.
Make a difference,
And what she really liked was they are able to have that cell chip. And she has the smaller, the 32 millimeter.
38, yes.
38 millimeter.
She likes that, doesn't she?
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's the same size.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, Apple could have just said, oh, it's only available in the 42, but they didn't. They kept
the
small
to them
one.
For doing that.
And she just said, you know, she's probably not going to make phone calls, but she knows it's there.
Because it kills the battery. You only get about an hour to talk.
But she said, you know, if she needs to, it's there for an emergency.
I think that's kind of it. It's like for an emergency, right?
Yeah.
Or you're on your paddleboard and you gotta call home or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. We will talk about that on Tuesday on iOS Today. Meanwhile, we are going to go talk in a little bit with Saul Lipman of
Yeah, Doggy.
About dog food by subscription. But first, Jason Howell with a review of his new DJ setup, the Neumark DJ2 Go 2. Watch.
If you fancy yourself a superstar DJ, then you may want to look elsewhere. But if you dabble in mixing and want a low-profile, easy-to-use, portable alternative to a huge turntable mixer setup, then you'd be hard-pressed to find something quite as solid as Neumark's new DJ2Go 2 Pocket DJ Controller. And I'll be honest, when I went into this review, I expected to be let down and that real DJs would never use something so small and minimal sort of way. I was very pleasantly surprised. The DJ2Go 2 is the second iteration of Neumark's Pocket DJ Controller setup, and it includes, let's say, the basics of what you need for DJ mixing. Not only do you get the hardware that you see here, but it includes a copy of Serato DJ Intro, which is a basic version of the full DJ digital mixing software that is used in clubs the world over. Now, onto the controller here, you've got two decks on each side that you can have a tune loaded into with the software. On the sides, of course, you have pitch control for beat matching, independent gain control for changing the volume and setting those appropriately, a cue monitor when you want to check a tune in your headphones before bringing it into the mix, and play controls down below for things like digital sync that allows you to do perfect beat matching. And also you have down here cue point preview for setting points throughout the song that you can jump to at any time. The tiny little turntables are, let's be honest, laughably small when compared to the real thing, but in use, they're pretty darn effective. They don't feel cheap. They give, you know, a little bit of resistance. I'd say enough resistance to make slight adjustments while you're mixing. You can make a pretty straightforward and accurate mix as a result. I do feel like the pitch controls on the side are not as accurate as I would hope. More throw would basically mean more accuracy, but the form factor here is so small, so it's kind of an essential trade-off. DJ2Go 2 also has this performance area in the center for things like dropping loop markers in your music on the fly so you can loop little parts of your music, or even setting cue points as you go along. And then up top here is a navigation knob for sifting through your digital creative music and assigning it to a deck for live mixing from there. DJ2Go 2 has both an 1/8-inch main output for routing to speakers. It also has a headphone output for assigning to the cue monitor, which is really nice for previewing that music before you throw it into the mix. And the unit fits comfortably on the open space on the MacBook Pro, as you can see right here. I had so much fun just kind of lazing around on my couch mixing late night tech house tracks like I was a touring DJ. And that's the beauty of DJ2Go 2. It's a great portable station. It keeps you connected to the fun of mixing music, but in a more casual way. And if you actually are a superstar DJ, I would say this would be a pretty great mobile option for creating cue points while you're on the road in between gigs. You can put it to use there. I do wish it offered a little more in the ways of sound shaping. EQ controls at the very least would satisfy my creative itch just a bit more than it does. But honestly, I had a blast with the DJ2Go 2 using Serato as well as using it with Native Instruments Traktor. And it's cheap. $79 gets you into the club, so to speak, and it just started shipping. So big thumbs up. You should definitely check it out. I'm Jason Howell, and you can find me on All About Android and a whole lot of other shows here on twit.tv.
Actually, that makes me want to be a DJ. That is pretty cool. I want one of them.
Yeah, I think you also need a little bit of talent.
Oh, talent. Damn it. It's the hardest. Seriously, on iOS today, it's the biggest problem you and I have. We can't show off drawing apps. We can't show off music apps. We can't show off singing apps. We don't have any talent. That's why we're in this.
This
business.
Is our talent.
This is it. Hey, look who's here. Saul Lipman. Hey. He's the founder of Yeah Doggy.
There you go.
How do you say it, Saul?
Yeah, doggy.
Yeah, doggy.
Yeah.
Saul is a serial entrepreneur. You may have heard of Tomfoolery, which was his startup. He sold to Yahoo. Nice job.
Thank you.
Former VP Mobile at AOL. And I take it you love doggies.
I do love doggies. Yeah, we started a new awesome startup called Yeah Doggy, which is a subscription dog food service where we actually learn all about your dog. And then we deliver to you predictively, by the way, so you never run out of food because we
like
know
it.
How much
like
you're
it.
Feeding your dog. We deliver food to your door. You pick one of our three amazing, healthy, grain-free recipes, and we basically we build a relationship with you and your doggy.
This is kind of a meta category for startups, is the idea of taking something that is either not working well, like the mattress business or the, you know,
right.
and disintermediating it so people can order, like, razor blades. How many razor
right.
blade startups are there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And eliminating the friction.
That's right.
Is there, but I don't know if dog food has a lot of friction.
Oh, there's tons of friction. Tons of friction.
You just said that you fed your dog too much before.
No, I didn't.
Well, there's a lot of friction.
I
right?
fed my dog perfectly.
We're not going to go into this again.
Okay. I have some friction. Like how much
What's
dog
the
food?
Friction?
How much dog food do I have? Like I tried Amazon Subscribe and Save, and they would just send me way too much, and then it's.
See, I would just go to the store every week, buy a little more dog food. When it was just me and Ozzy, I would just put the food out and let him eat it when he was hungry, and then when the food ran out, I put more in the bowl, and that worked out.
Some dogs are like that. Some dogs are grazers, and you
but
can
some
do that.
Overeat, huh?
But a lot overeat. In fact, 54% of all the dogs in the U.S. are overweight, and that leads to lots of health problems, and it leads to lots of vet bills.
It's because people are feeding them food that's too delicious. Just feed them food they don't like.
Yeah, that's that.
Don't do that.
You know what?
No.
I wish I had talked to you before I did this whole startup. God, I could. That would have been.
I know
smart
that's why I overeat. It tastes too good.
Yeah.
So now this is not wet food. This is dry.
No,
food?
This is kibble, and
kibble?
We also have treats that are
nice.
Delicious. And you know, as I said, you can pick from three. They're all grain free, really, really healthy.
So what are the three
but the
choices?
Thing, well, we have lamb meal and sweet potato. We have a buffalo and duck. This is what Megan
buffalo
got.
Buffalo and duck.
That's
yeah,
right.
Buffalo
those are two. Those are two
duck.
Flavors you don't usually think of as going.
Well,
together.
You know what? Dogs like
dogs
both
like
of those
both
things.
Ducks
yes,
and
absolutely.
Yeah.
And then we have a limited ingredient turkey that's really amazing.
Why limited ingredient? What
because
is
because some dogs have allergies and
right.
it helps them to. You isolate their allergies by making it a limited ingredient.
Obviously, I didn't think enough about feeding my dog. I should have spent more time. But I would just go by the veterinarian formula dog
sure,
food, right?
Sure.
Figuring, well, that's got to be okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of dog food out there, and it's very stressful. You go into a pet food store, and
there's
wall.
A
wall.
It's crazy.
You know, it's crazy. And then you have to pick something that's kind of might be based on the bag. You know, so you don't really know.
And
you
I
don't
knew
really
I didn't know.
And so part of what we try to do is we try to say this is no worries dog food.
Did you get a vet involved?
Yeah, we have a vet consultant who and some nutritionists, and we've really tried our best to provide a really healthy and very affordable kibble. That and the other thing we really try to do is we really try to customize the experience. So. You know, when you register, this is kind of what you get when you register
show,
right here.
Let me show people
this. Oh, yeah.
So this is you call this the food transition.
Yeah, so we customize right. a transition plan just for your dog because if you transition a dog too quickly onto a new food,
it upsets
their stomach.
Yeah.
And so you can see here that, you know, we slowly transition and it's all, the whole thing is customized. And as I mentioned before, we also customize the amount you should feed your dog healthily. And if you've ever tried to read the back of a dog food label, you have to be a genius to figure out a mathematician.
I don't really want to think about it.
Right. Exactly.
So why did
this
you do
point.
This, Megan?
Okay, so I I do spend a lot of money on dog food. Like, when we got our dog from the rescue place, they said you have to feed them this Taste of the Wild.
Taste of the Wild?
Yeah. It's 70.
Is that artisanal dog food?
It's grain-free.
Well, that I've heard that over and over again. No grains for the animals.
I love my dog very much.
Yeah,
my children are getting older.
Yeah.
They ignore me. My kids.
The dog still loves you.
Yeah,
so
the
much.
Dog still every.
The snake is not exactly cuddly.
I love the snake too. He doesn't eat dog food. She. Sorry.
Well, that's what's next for us. Snakes.
Yes, is it really?
Yeah. I
no,
asked him about
dogs
it. Yeah.
And cats.
Right.
That's probably
yes.
bigger than dogs.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
I'm glad we talked about that.
So I don't know how much to feed, and I think subscription services are...
It's really convenient.
You don't have to think about it.
It just comes.
And, yeah, here's mine for Gilbert, and they put his little picture on there. Can you see
neat.
That?
It's really customized.
And
that's really... Here, give it to me.
Yeah.
I know where that
told,
camera is. I figured
yeah,
it out.
How much... how many cups, and there's a transition, because you don't just switch your dog into new food.
How did they get a picture of Gilbert?
I signed it up on the app.
Oh. Yeah, when you sign up.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's see the app.
Okay, well, this is why I signed up, because it's not that expensive. And this is
What do you need an app for feeding your dog?
That's a good lead-in.
Yeah.
Yeah, good
job.
Seriously. We do have a little tech that we have.
What the hell is that?
This is a dog food scoop right here.
But
it's not just any.
It looks like a beautiful gourd.
Yes,
but in fact, there's some electronics in
this. Yes, there is.
What is this?
So basically, when you feed the dog... it has an accelerometer in it, and it has a Bluetooth chip.
It has an accelerometer?
Yeah. And when you feed the dog,
it
actually notifies everyone in the household that the dog's been fed.
Oh, that's good.
Push notifies everybody.
That's good, because sometimes the kids keep feeding the
right.
dog.
And, yeah. And then, so it does that, and it helps us to monitor your inventory. It's another way for us to know when you're going to run out.
Because you know exactly how much...
We know. Well, when you sign up, you also tell us, we sort of agree... You're going to feed. We recommend 4 cups a day. You can adjust it if you want, but you can drink soup out of it.
Use
as well.
This for soup, right? Yeah. Because that would confuse your algorithm.
But you could he use
but
it
when you,
for
when
soup?
When you turned it upside down, it did push notify. But yeah,
did it really?
Yeah.
It said you're out. What did it say?
No, it said just the dog.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So you really don't want anybody to mess with your special scoop.
No. It's okay. But I'm happy to show you sort of.
Yeah,
let's see
the app. Works a little bit here.
Okay,
right
there. I'm sorry. Right above the coffee cup. So you know, you can see
iPhone and Android.
Nope, just iPhone. Yeah. And we are launching.
People don't have dogs.
No, because Android people
next.
They get the better version.
Ah.
We make all the mistakes on iOS so that we could perfect the Android version.
Okay,
but you know, you can see. You can do other things as well. You can also say, you know, I've walked the dog, and you can pick a dog, that post that to your feed. But, you know, this is just a communication tool for us.
So everybody in the family would have it, and so they would know, or your friend.
They would know.
Well, this is a good time to bring in Erin.
Yes.
Erin shares these dogs with her sister and her sister's husband and her sister's kids. So this is a big family with a lot of dogs. And Erin might have walked the dog. So does Colleen walk the dog? She doesn't know. But if you had the app, you would know. Oh, Erin fed. What is his name?
Jax.
And Darling.
Violet.
Violet is Darling.
Should we give him some treats?
Yeah.
Now, how long has it been since Jax and Darling have eaten? Violet.
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah, they haven't eaten.
So
that's part of the.
This is in no way.
No. So we do make
every
these awesome
loves treats. These are beef jerky.
Yeah, smell this.
Oh, I'm gonna have some.
Yeah, okay. They're really
that's
good.
Fantastic. Don't eat
this
it, Leo.
This is grass fed.
Is it safe for human consumption?
No, it's not. Not technically.
What do you mean,
not
it's not?
It wasn't made on the right...
There you go.
No, it's good.
I know.
If I got hungry, I would happily eat this.
Yeah, no, it's... I'm really proud you did that, actually. Here you guys go.
No, this is fantastic.
Oh, they like it.
Is it okay for them?
What?
And Violet didn't get one.
What do you mean?
I mean, it tastes too good to be given to a dog.
Yeah. No.
Oh, give
one more.
Just apologize to Violet. I took a bite out of it.
That's true. Give me to Jack.
She doesn't care. So she likes it.
Yep. So we make awesome treats and awesome food. Ooh. And we wrap a little technology around it to...
I love this. But how much? Is it going to be really expensive?
Yeah, no. So for an average dog in the U.S. is about 40 pounds. And so we try to target about $50 a month.
Okay, that's
for
fair.
A 40-pound dog delivered to your door.
Oh, look at Violet says, and you got any more of that stuff? Yeah, that was good.
Snooping
now,
around.
You also get little tennis ball.
We have our awesome poop bags. Our poop
bags. You know
what?
That's what I need a subscription to.
We always say
bags.
I
don't even have a dog.
Yeah, no, it's we can follow you around. And we say we've got you covered on both ends. This is like this package right here.
Is
these
this a
things,
week? 2 weeks?
It depends on your dog.
That's
But we send this to you for, you can sign up. We send all of this for $1.
Oh, so there's like
so
a trial.
So you can just try it out.
That's a good deal.
And
yes.
And then
nice.
If your dog doesn't like it, totally fine.
This is my 100-pound dog. This for $1.
That's true. Comes how often?
Well, this was just the
that's
sample.
A month? Oh, that's a sample.
But my 72-pound bag is coming soon.
And how often would you
26
do that?
26-pound.
Why do you try to do that?
Sorry.
The dog's 72 pounds.
I cannot afford to ship that to you.
Never let a dog eat more weight than he is.
Yeah,
that's
26.
My rule.
That's a good
is it $72? Is that where I got the 72? It might be $72 for the 26-pound dog. And that
so
is literally what
door,
we pay.
How often do I get a shipment? Once a month?
When you need it.
Oh,
it's all predictive. So
because
we know,
you know
how much, so we just...
Oh, that's cool.
We're able to... And we text you first. We say, hey,
we're about to send you more.
Just making sure, and we check in with you, but it's a...
And in my case, you might say, have you been eating the jerky?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
The jerky's going away
going
a little
fast.
Too fast.
Just
and
remember,
we're a little concerned.
That's for Violet, not for you.
That's right.
This is YADOGGIE.com.
Yeah, doggy.
Yeah, doggy.
There you go.
And you're from Santa Cruz.
That's right. We're a Santa Cruz company.
And you've been trying it in Santa Cruz. It's been working.
Yeah, so we've had a few hundred customers in Santa Cruz for about 9 months now before we launched outside of our area.
I went to high school in Santa Cruz.
Did you? Which high school?
Santa Cruz High.
Nice.
Where'd you go?
I didn't know. I grew up in Fremont. But I live not
me?
Far from there.
Why'd you ask me?
Because
like,
he has kids.
You knew.
Well, I want to get the
idea.
He will
not send his kids there.
Where
is why.
You know? Did you know? No.
Yeah.
Well, the Scoop comes with the subscription service once the Scoop launches, right?
That's right.
Oh, the Scoop is not out yet.
No, it's not out yet. It launches in November.
There is something in that. I don't know.
Yeah. sorry. You're welcome.
It's not for human
just
consumption.
Just FYI. No one told him to eat the treats.
No.
But, and I'm not joking here. I'm not teasing you. That was delicious.
Yeah.
I am not kidding. That was good jerky. That was good jerky. You don't make this yourself. You've got
No. We work with three different, they're called co-packers, who take our formulation and make the food.
You know what I like, though? This is simple. It's just a brown bag recyclable.
Yep.
It's not, there's not a lot, you don't need to put a lot of advertising on it.
You know what? Yeah. And that's part of what we're trying to do is limit the amount of marketing. You know, you go and you see these bags with dogs jumping over majestic rivers and, you know. This is, we give you great food at a great price delivered to your door, wrapped with a little bit of.
How do you count the poop bags? How do you know?
We count each and one.
Oh, I get it. This much in, that much out.
Right. That's right.
Right? Okay.
We know exactly. Also, we put.
What about.
We put things into the kibble to know when your dog pooped.
No, you don't. No, that's a lie.
All right, that's a lie.
GPS tracking on each
cool,
piece
though.
Of kibble. That's next.
Cool. I have to ask this because I know our audience. Is there a doggy privacy policy?
There is not a doggy privacy policy, but...
But you know everything
like
about
to,
my dog now.
Yeah, that's true. And we...
And you could share that with somebody?
We can, yeah. See, and our poop bags say like funny... say funny things
about it,
too.
Okay, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not showing it. You have to buy it.
That's right. That's good. I'll take it.
It's good. I like it. No, right. This was always, it was more, this was less, more of a problem, less of a problem.
Right.
It was, you know, I had plenty of food, but never had enough poop bags.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we always send free poop bags.
Really?
Yeah.
That's part of the deal?
We've got you covered on both ends. See,
I understand why you do this now, Megan. Mm-hmm. And how does, what's your dog's name?
Gilbert.
How does Gilbert like?
Well, he has had it before. He hasn't had this specially formulated buffalo and duck. I didn't pick the buffalo and duck. The algorithm picked the buffalo and duck, recommended that.
Wow.
So I'll let you know how. He couldn't be with us today because
could I try some
like
of the buffalo
people.
And duck?
No, you may not.
I'm curious with that.
You're going to mess up our algorithm.
Hey, it's really nice to meet you, Saul. Thank you very much. Yadoggie.com. YADOGGIE.com. We're going to take a call for help in just a little bit. Actually, it's an in-studio call for help in just a little bit. But first, I want to tell you about my that's Saul.
He doesn't have to do our ad for us.
Good-looking guy. First, I want to tell you about my friend Saul. No, I want to tell you about WordPress.com. Do you know that 28% of the web runs on WordPress? Some of the best publications in the world run on WordPress. My blog runs on WordPress. I ran a WordPress site for many, many years, self-hosted. And I'm kind of knocking myself in the head now because for less money than it cost me to have a host, a server, and a lot less effort, I've got a great site on WordPress.com. There it is, me and the giraffe. WordPress hosts it. WordPress keeps the software up to date. WordPress gets the best support. Plus, there's a big community at WordPress.com, which means my site gets shared with a lot of people. There's a follow button on the site so people can follow me. I love it. WordPress.com. I use it all the time. But what I don't do anymore, and I'm really thrilled about this, is I don't have to worry about security. It's just done for me. In fact, I even get HTTPS automatically. So that is fabulous. Built-in search engine optimization, built-in social sharing, lovely templates, hundreds of them to choose from. You don't need to hire somebody. Now, I know one of the reasons a lot of people don't have a website, and if you're a business, you have to have a website. You just have to. But I know one of the reasons people don't is because they say, I don't want to be a web expert. I don't need to do that. I got enough trouble. So I'm going to have a Facebook page or a Twitter account. No, you need to have a website. If you're a business that doesn't have a website, that's like a business that doesn't have a phone. But you don't have to be a web expert to do this. It's easy. You don't even have to hire somebody. Just go to WordPress.com, pick a template, start putting stuff up there. It is gorgeous. It's easy. And if you do want an expert, because 28% of the web runs on WordPress, there are plenty of people out there to help you. The WordPress API is the most supported in the world. Get started today, 15% off any new plan purchase. If you go to our special website, and please do this, WordPress.com/NSS. WordPress.com/NSS, new screensavers. That way they'll know you heard about it here. We thank WordPress for their support of the new screensavers. 15% off your brand new website, WordPress.com/NSS. Time for a call for help. You know, we never could do this we never did this on the new screensavers or call for help. Have people in the studio.
We had a studio audience, so I don't know why we didn't answer their questions.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? Michael Collins is here. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Leo. How are you?
From another place I didn't go to high school. I went to junior high school, Providence, Rhode Island.
Oh.
And you were just going to be here anyway?
Yes.
You didn't come just for the question?
Well, kind of.
Wow.
I feel like we should make him actually call.
Right.
Can we just get him a phone? Yeah. What's your question?
Well, I work out of my home office, and it's driving me a little crazy, so I decided to spend a few days in a co-working space. And
what do you do?
I'm a web designer.
Oh, neat. Okay.
And so I work on a 27-inch iMac at home.
Nice.
And I was thinking of getting...
Well, you can't do that at a co-working space.
No, lug it there.
Yeah, you need a laptop,
bring it back.
Right?
Yeah.
How come not a MacBook Pro? Why a Surface?
Well, I have an old MacBook Pro that I really like, and the keyboard's really nice and used to work really well. It's really old. I've looked at the new MacBook Pros, and I'm not really that impressed with it. And I've tried typing on them, and they seem really loud
to me. I hate the keyboard.
Yeah.
I hate the keyboard.
I have a MacBook, which has the older version of that
style. The old
keyboards
were fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, Apple, they started doing this with the MacBook because it was so thin. Mm-hmm. They had to do these new keys that didn't have much travel. Okay, you're giving up something for a super thin, light notebook.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they decided to put this in the new MacBook Pros as well. And that they have room. They could have more travel. I guess they're really all in on these butterfly keys. I'm not. And I know many people don't like it. So that's one of many reasons you might want to look at a Windows machine. People look at Windows machines also because there's more choice. Mm-hmm. Apple's the only company making Macs, but there's literally thousands of companies making Windows machines. You don't have to get it from Microsoft. You know that, right?
Right, right. Well, I like the color. So, and the design.
This is a Surface Book that Megan has here. This is a convertible, so it looks like a regular laptop. They have that weird clothespin hinge. Mm-hmm. And the reason they do that is because you can detach the screen. I know, it's kind of weird. That is effectively the same screen as is on a Surface Pro 4. So it's the same shape, size, height, even the same display. It has its own battery built in. It can be used as a regular every old day tablet. Unlike, though, the Surface, it's got a real keyboard. So one of the things about the Surface, you know, the Surface Pro or the Surface Pro 4, is that the keyboard is that weird cover. Have you tried it?
I have an Asus one that's sort of similar.
You got to try it, because if you didn't like the Mac keyboard, it's a similar problem with the TypePad keyboard that Microsoft makes. There's not a lot of travel. It kind of feels like the iPad keyboard, Megan, you know, the one we have.
I think so.
This has more of a real keyboard. This is another Surface. This is the Surface Laptop, which has the weird Alcantara fabric on here. Try that keyboard, though. This is the same keyboard as on the Surface Book.
And how do you like this one?
I like it a lot. And speaking of color, look at that. It's burgundy. Yeah, that's
me. Did it think it was you? Oh, couldn't recognize you. Good.
This is a Surface Pro 3. Alex's Surface Pro 3. And this is that. Now, this is the high-quality keyboard. Alex spent a little money on it. Actually, that's probably the same keyboard as this. Yeah. So it's not too bad. It's not a lot of travel, but it's maybe a little better than the MacBook. This also has that benefit that you can detach this. And they have a kickstand. In fact, the new Surface Pros have a kickstand that can go all the way back. And I think for designers, the use of a pen with a screen that can go down to about 18 degrees, that's a nice thing. It's like a drafting table.
Yeah.
So I do like it for that. But there are many other companies making very similar convertibles. You know, I use a Yoga from Lenovo, the ThinkPad Yoga, which I love. That's a two-in-one. It doesn't detach, but it can turn into a tablet by folding the keyboard under. Asus and others make detachable keyboards. I think there are a lot of good choices out there.
So with something like this, can you hook it up to external monitors?
Yes. Every one of these devices can be hooked up. This has a mini DisplayPort connector.
Okay.
So you can hook it up to... there it is, a mini DisplayPort connector. So you can hook up to an external monitor. You can have two monitors running at the same time. I think you could even do this plus two monitors if you really wanted a lot of screen real estate. Of course, that's not going to help you in the co-working situation. You're not going to lug a monitor around. Or do they have monitors there?
No, but I'm going to get a desk, like a
fixed desk. So this will replace the iMac as well?
No, I'll still do that because I do some training videos. And I'd rather do that not in the co-working space. They'd probably prefer that I don't do that in the co-working space either.
So what will you be doing in the co-working space? Like design programs? What programs will you be using?
I use a lot of the Adobe programs, and then everything else is in the cloud, the business programs. And then I work on WordPress, so a lot of that is done.
I've heard of them.
Yeah.
Our sponsor.
They're really great.
So all those programs will work fine on Windows machine. Yeah.
That's in fact one of the things that I think is powering a lot of people making this reverse switch is that if you use Adobe programs, they're identical on both platforms. Yeah. So you can move back and forth. You can be very comfortable with it. I think that's what you use, that's going to be fine. There are things that you can use on a Mac that you might miss for web design, things like Coda from Panic Software. There's some really nice, you know, FTP stuff. And have you used Windows before? Are you comfortable with Windows?
A long time ago.
Yeah. Windows 10 is a lot better than it's been in a while, but it's still a big, you know, change.
Yeah.
Some of it's just simple stuff, but you get this muscle memory. For instance, the Mac, the menu bar is always at the top. On Windows, the menu bar is attached to the window. So you have this muscle memory of moving your mouse up to the top of the screen, and you're going to have to relearn that. Same thing, the close buttons are in a different location. The zoom buttons are in a different location. But I guess you could get used to all of that. What are your concerns? What are your biggest concerns?
Well, one of the things that I use Newton for my email, which goes across devices and across platforms. And it's really simple. It allows me to concentrate on the email itself.
I've never heard of this.
That's what I use, really? Newton. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I use it on my iPad. I use it on my iPhone. I use it on my Mac. And I use it on this Surface. And it's great.
So it's both mobile and desktop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's got that swipe thing.
Yeah.
That, and we really should give credit to, who was the first that used that? I think it was that to-do list. Remember that? That had that swipe thing.
In
that?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, Clear, I think it was called, or something like that. That's a nice feature. Once you get used to that, you tend to use it. Although, how is that on a desktop? Do you swipe on a desktop?
No, I use it on my Mac. Well, this I can use my fingers if I want, but I just use keyboard.
I love touch, and I think that's one thing, Michael, you might kind of go, oh, wow. Why doesn't Apple do touch on their desktops?
Yeah.
They really ought to. Touch is a very nice thing, especially for what you do. You know, working with design and stuff, it's, I think just being at a pen, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you use an iPad Pro? Have you used a pencil on an iPad Pro?
No, I haven't.
I think you're going to love this.
And just going from an iPad and the phone, I always want to touch my screen anyways.
Yes, you know? It's become part of our vocabulary. Yeah.
But you were worried about photos, managing your photos. You were using Apple Photos?
Right, because you know, when you take a picture with your phone, it just syncs to it, and eventually it's there on your desktop or your laptop.
Use Google Photos.
Google Photos, okay.
All the functionality of Apple Photos. But it syncs also to your desktop. Well, it syncs to photos.google.com, so you can go on your desk. So when I take, on my recent trip, I took a lot of iPhone photos. I didn't have to even think about it. I knew they were immediately backed up to the cloud and available to me on any computer I use at photos.google.com. That's a very suitable replacement. Okay. You can continue to use Apple Photos on your iOS devices.
And Google doesn't change the photos at all? It doesn't compress them? It's the original photos?
You have two choices. You can save originals, but you have to pay for that storage. It's not expensive, but you do have to pay for that storage, just as you do with iCloud. iCloud is, you know, after 5 gigabytes, you're going to be paying for whatever. I don't know what it is, 20 gigabytes. You're going to be paying for it.
After five.
Google does have unlimited free storage for JPEGs, for compressed JPEGs. They do a good job. You may not mind that. I actually use I use the unlimited storage because I don't want to have to worry about it. Even though I have tons of storage on Google Drive.
You said you do training videos. Like, are you taking videos with your iPhone? Because like I said, my iPhone has 4K video, but if I'm just backing up on Google Photos, it's not going to save the 4K video. It's going to compress it, right?
No.
It'll let me save?
I think those will be preserved in original form. That's an interesting question.
I would think
that they'd reprocess it.
Yeah.
I do get videos saved. I'll have to look and see if there's a big difference. 4K 60p is going to be huge. You're probably not going to want to put that on the cloud.
Right. What about OneDrive? Would you suggest that if you're going to have? I mean, are you going to get Office? Because OneDrive, a lot of OneDrive storage comes if you get an Office subscription. Do you use Office or not?
Yeah, I do.
So, and you could have OneDrive on your phone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It has that same backup thing. It doesn't have unlimited free storage. But it's going to be very similar for originals, yeah. Yeah, I think that's not a problem nowadays. In fact, we call it round tripping when you're going back and forth from Windows to Mac and, you know, back and forth. Round tripping is pretty straightforward in all the Adobe stuff for sure and all the Google stuff for sure. The only thing that doesn't round trip is Apple's dedicated stuff.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have Photos, for instance. But it does have iCloud on Windows, too, so you could use iCloud. And I think you'd still be able to see the photos, but you know they'd be stored on the web. And those are originals, by the way. Yeah.
How about a calendar one?
Google.
Google.
That's what I recommended too. Right. It's a little too busy for you. That's the problem.
It is. It's
well, you don't have to use Google's app.
Yeah.
So once you use Google, you think of it as a sync tool rather than anything else. Once you're syncing with Google, you can use a variety of apps on both PCs and Macs and iOS that can sync with the Google Calendar. So you can choose the interface you want. If you like Fantastical on the Mac, or actually I guess they're gone, but they're, you know, I use BusyCal. That syncs with Google. So the data is stored by Google, but you don't have to use the Google interface.
Is there one that's cross-platform and cross-device?
So you want a calendar that looks the same everywhere?
Yep.
I bet there is. That's a good question. Is there a calendar for, it would have to be for Mac, Windows, and iOS?
Yep.
And it would have to look the same?
And sync across and be available offline.
I would say Outlook. I would say Microsoft's solution.
Oh, yeah, okay. Outlook. Have you used the Outlook on the iPhone? It's a great app.
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
They bought, remember, they bought Sunrise, mm-hmm. which was a right. really great calendaring yeah. app. And they're basically integrating that into Outlook. So I think maybe Microsoft's solution, since you like it. You don't use, do you use Outlook email on Windows? No, you use that, what was it called?
Newton.
Newton, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it doesn't have calendaring?
No.
I'd say take a look anyway at Outlook. Outlook okay. on all three platforms. By the way, can also sync with Google. You can use Google as your data storage and synchronization and have a different view of it depending on what you want to use.
Yeah.
I know. I use different apps on every platform. A calendar is a calendar. I mean, it looks the same and it works the same. But if you want something that looks the same, I would say Outlook would be a good choice. There might be other choices as well.
So if I went with the Surface laptop, do you think the i5 configuration is good enough?
Okay. So, and by the way, the Surface laptop is probably, we'll use the pen and we'll work with the pen, but because it's a laptop, it's not a convertible, you're not going to want to use the pen that much.
Okay.
Right. The pen makes more sense if you can either lie it almost flat or you can use it as a tablet.
Yeah.
In a laptop form factor, the pen does not make as much sense, in my opinion.
Okay.
Although it will work, that's the good news. This display is fully touch and 10-point and pressure sensitive and all of that.
I have one more piece of advice that you have to use it because Leo lent me this, and because I felt like I needed to be more comfortable with Windows, and I have to force myself to use it because you'll always go back to the thing that you know, right?
Right.
So you have to force yourself to make a habit of using it. It is easy to use, but I
well, you're
going
to be forced to because you're going to be using the Mac at home and you're going to be taking the laptop.
Right.
I wish I had my ThinkPad Yoga here, because I think if you try that keyboard, you'll say, oh, I'm not going to use any other keyboard. Mm-hmm. It might even spoil you for the Apple iMac keyboard. They're really, really nice keyboards. And they also have the touch. They have a pen. They come with a pen that's actually built in. They fold over so they can turn into a tablet. It's a powerhouse. Now, to answer your question, I bought an i7 on my Yoga, and I regret it, because what happens, and I'm sure this happens on all notebooks nowadays, is for thermal constraints, the i7 generally doesn't run at full speed. If it did, it would get so hot that they would have to turn it off. So in most cases, you're not going to be able to take advantage of the horsepower of an i7. I would say there are very few situations, and I don't think yours is one of the exceptions, that an i5 isn't more than adequate for. Maybe gaming. If you were doing you say you're doing video, are you doing a lot of transcoding or?
It's mostly just a screen share capture thing.
That's not hard on this. Yeah. I think an i5 is more than enough, and I would take the difference in price and put it into more RAM. That's going to be a big benefit to you. Maybe a second external screen so you have more real estate. Those things are more valuable than an i5 versus an i7. The i7, I think in laptops, is probably not a good idea for most people. You're just not going to be able to take advantage of its speed.
Yeah. So, Megan, what do you think? Should I do it, or should I just get a refurbished?
How much does that Lenovo machine cost? Is that like 500, 800 without the?
So that's not it. It's actually the X. It's the Yoga X1 Yoga. You can get it, and they have a consumer-y Yoga, but the one we were showing, the other Yoga, the ThinkPad X1 Yoga. I paid $3,000, but I got an i7. I got an
i7. Get a refurbished MacBook Pro, like we talked about.
Well, but I would also say that you can usually get about a third off if you look around for the corporate perks site and corporate perks codes. And I've been using those. I bought my most recent Lenovo. I used that, and I got a third off. So that's it, the ThinkPad X1 Yoga. Does start at $1,600, and remember, I maxed out the memory, 24 gigs. Again, for you, more memory will probably be valuable. I don't know if you need that much, but it'd be valuable. It has now. I also bought the OLED screen, which is a lot of the expense. Boy, that looks good for photography. There's nothing better than an OLED screen, but you don't need to buy such a fancy thing. But I have to say, the keyboard is the number one reason to look at the ThinkPad family. They make excellent keyboards, none better. So this is my personal preference on a PC. There are other great PCs. This is one of the things that's compelling about the PC market is you have choices.
Yeah.
You know, and the touch bar rather turned me off. The bad butterfly keyboard turned me off. And I felt like Apple just wasn't invested in the Mac platform, particularly in Mac hardware, and like they used to be. I'm a Mac fan. I love the Mac OS. So I, you know, reluctantly looked at Windows. And I have to say, Windows 10 isn't bad. Not great,
but it's not bad. And the choice of hardware is remarkable. It really is nice to have that many choices. You know, cool. GPUs that are modern, all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, I think you should shop around. I don't think you should. The reason I mention these other ones is the Surface, Microsoft just started making notebooks. Let's not forget, this is a new business for them. There was a huge failure rate in the early Surfaces, the first-year Surfaces. This Surface Book, which is the first generation, didn't work right for 8 months. It took them 8 months of updates before they got it right. They probably have got a lot of it right. But this is a new business for them. I wouldn't hesitate to look at Lenovo, Dell. HP now is making some beautiful gear, really nice gear. I'm not sure I'd turn to Microsoft first. Okay. Having said that, the new Surface Note that they just announced is really sweet, very fast, very thin. Nobody does a screen better than Microsoft. They have fantastic screens. And I actually really like the Microsoft Pen. So I'm not against Microsoft, but just remember, they're new to this business, and there's maybe some right. little hitches in their get-along.
You can't open it with your face, though.
I do like Hello, but that's not just Microsoft. All the Windows 10 machines will do some, or can do some. The ThinkPad I got doesn't do Hello. It does a fingerprint. I frankly prefer that. It's a more solid. You know, I don't like to have to go like this to the screen. Hello? And I sometimes have
to. You don't actually have to say hello. You know that.
You don't have to say, but watch. See, watch. So it's looking for me. Now, that unlocked right away and it unlocked on my favorite new game, Cuphead. The mailbag is coming up next week. Jason Snell will be joining us on the show. If you've got a question for he's really a Mac expert, but he can answer questions of all kinds. Here's how you get on the show next week.
Need tech help? The new screensavers are here with answers. Email your tech questions to newscreensavers@twit.tv.
Nice to have you in studio, Michael. Thanks for coming by. I really appreciate it. Father Robert Ballesteyer, is there anything he can't do? He's the quad father. He's the host of Know How. He does enterprise technology. He hosted, you know, Security Now for me while I was gone.
And you'd have no idea that most of the day he spends with his big giant monitor playing video games.
Playing video games! We got him to review two of the hottest new games out there, Splasher and my personal favorite. I'm very excited about this, Cuphead. Watch.
I am not a pro gamer. In fact, I'm a bad gamer. I'm horrible at gaming. I'm the reason why they made cheat codes. I have no Twitch reflexes. I'm not the last man standing. I'm the first noob waiting to respond. But that doesn't mean I don't enjoy games. If they're the right kind, and I've got maybe two that make the bad gamer list. The first is Cuphead. I got my first glimpse of this 2D multiplayer tour de force at E3, and it captivated me with its Steamboat Willie graphics and old-school shoot-em-up gameplay. You don't need a backstory to play Cuphead, but there is one. You play an adorable character with a cup far ahead, roll credits, who has made a not-so-adorable deal with the devil and is trying to win his soul back by becoming the devil's hitman. No, seriously. To help you go all John Wick on the pixel pop and bad guys, you get an unlimited supply of ammunition, dash and jump powers, as well as slapping, charge-up artillery, and the amazing, if all too often forgotten, ability to duck. You can change out and buff up your weapons to suit particular levels, and you're rewarded for smart thinking more than for brute force. So you're a running, jumping, shooting, flying, slapping, sliding, badass cartoon character immersed in a beautifully rendered 2D world that looks like Tim Burton's childhood teamed up with the neighborhood kid who had mad doodle skills. Cuphead is a lot of fun, especially if you play with another gamer, and you'll sometimes find yourself dying because you got caught admiring some bit of animation in the background. Speaking of dying, you will die. A lot. Over and over. Get used to it, to the point of utter frustration, no matter how good of a gamer you are. Each time you die, you slip back to the last checkpoint, and this is as good an allegory for the game as anything. You have to recognize patterns, otherwise you go back to the start. That's how the game works, and that's what it rewards. If you take each death as an angst-inducing setback, then you'll hate Cuphead. If, however, you enjoy figuring out a way to get past each level that's just a little more clever than the last, then Cuphead might be just for you. But enough of demon-slaying, contract-killing, soul-ripping, anamorphic drinking implements with a serious glove fetish. I promised you two games for the bad gamer list, and the second is Splasher. Splasher is a single-player, cartoony 2D side-scroller that reminds me a lot of Super Meat Boy. But while Cuphead went all early days of animation on us, Splasher harkens to the kind of steampunk electronica kids who secretly thought Fooly Cooly was everything they needed to know in life, even as they overdosed on Sailor Moon and Pokemon. But I digress. You play a lowly worker at the evil corporation Ink Corp. One day you discover that the boss, Doctor, has been experimenting on your fellow co-workers, and you decide to bust everyone out of a lair that looks like Dr. Moreau set up shop in a toxic waste dump. Your only weapon? A backpack that can be outfitted to shoot water, stick ink, which lets you climb walls and ceilings, and bounce ink, which lets you leap evil mutants in a single bound. There are more than 20 levels with 8 co-workers you need to save in each level, with a mastery of the liquids you can excrete, control over your jumping, and a keen eye for patterns. Splasher rewards you for imagination, giving you multiple ways to get through the maze while also letting you go as slow or as fast as you'd like. Like Cuphead, you will die a lot, and it can get annoying. But there are also wonderful moments of aha that happen again and again. Best of all, I find myself replaying old levels over and over to better my time. Shave a few seconds off a wall crawl or otherwise link together multiple jumps, sticks, bounces, and floats so I can parkour my way through the level like a pro. Both Cuphead and Splasher are crazy fun and easy to pick up for a few minutes just to get your gaming fix. They're both worthy of an addition to your gaming inventory, though if I could only choose one, this bad gamer is going with Splasher. Splasher is available now for $15 on Xbox One, PS4, and Windows. Cuphead is available on Xbox One and Windows for $20. I am Father Robert Ballasaire, the bad gamer, for Twit TV.
Yeah, see, I would choose Cuphead, but on the other hand, it looks like a really hard game. You played it a pretty
bit. I played a little bit. I didn't really get through the... Thank you. I didn't get through the tutorial. But I enjoyed looking at it, and I enjoyed listening to the jazzy soundtrack.
I just love how it looks. But it looks also, now that I've seen Robert play through it, very hard.
Yeah, there's a lot of button pushing at the same time. Jason enjoyed it, and I said it was difficult.
I can't wait.
He said you just press all the buttons
just
and
keep
you
playing.
Laugh.
Yeah, and laugh. I love the stuff.
Yeah.
The thing that's interesting about Cuphead, it was first previewed, I think, more than 2 years ago. Three E3s ago. And we've been waiting for it ever since. It finally is out, and it's only $20. You buy it on Windows, you get to play it on the Xbox, and vice versa.
Right.
You get it on both platforms. And I just tried it. It runs fine on Windows 10S. You get it from the store, the App Store, and it works great. So that Surface laptop, which is running, you know, that limited version of Windows, I can play Cuphead. Pretty cool. That might be a reason to get an i7 Cuphead. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for the mailbag?
Yep. I don't know why we have these cards.
Yeah, let's get the mailbag in here. Thank you, Colleen.
Nobody's been checking the mail since you've been gone.
Oh, finally. I've been looking for Soylent. I found my Soylent. I asked before the show, I was asking Saul because he makes dog chow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you probably can't even use that name, dog chow, but he makes dog food. Why isn't there people chow?
Right, because it's everything that you need is in that box.
Yeah.
Including the poop bags. That's what you would like.
No, I don't need a poop bag. But I would like food that I wouldn't have to think about it. And that was the idea of Soylent. But I don't think it would be healthy to live on this.
No, I don't think so.
That's a bad idea. So I'm just going to put that over there. I have many cases of Soylent. Here are the two questions. Pick one. Well, we didn't ask Saul about his Apple Watch. He has a Series 3 with a red dot, I noticed.
We should have asked him to make a phone call. Now he's gone.
He's very modern. All right, I get to start.
Okay.
How does the space gray, this is from Dan, how does the space gray of the new iPhones compare to the space gray of the past iPhone 6 or 6S? On the Apple website, the newer space gray phone appear much darker than the older ones. Now that you have one, is that accurate? Is it due to the glass back? Just curious. Show us your space gray iPhone, Megan Maroney.
I have the space gray iPhone that looks just like this because I always have a case on it, as you should.
And we don't have the space gray iPhone, but we have the original one. But this is the Mac iPad Pro 10.5. So this is the latest iPad with space gray. You can see how much lighter it is.
Yeah.
Where the color comes in mostly, though, is on the aluminum on the side. And this is the darker space gray that you'll see on the Apple Watch. So if you want some comparison, if you have a space gray Apple Watch, that's the color of aluminum. This is almost black. It's like a light black. It's, I would say, like 90% gray, something like that. And, of course, the front is black.
But the glass, space gray glass, is different.
Yeah, this is the silver iPhone. And you'll see that it's the silver is only here. Really, the back is white, kind of a pearlescent white.
So I think when Apple's talking about the color, we don't have a gold iPhone 8, but I think when they're talking about the color, mostly they're talking about this edge, this aluminum edge here. That's where you'll see most of the color, and that's the space gray. And yes, you're right. I think it is a little bit darker, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mostly got this one because it has the black bezels.
Right. It's the only one with a black front. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, well, all my phones have black fronts now, so why don't I have one with a white front, just so I could tell the difference. Because that, I mean, they all look pretty much the same now. They're just slabs of glass. I'll tell you, and I don't want to offend anybody.
Okay.
I know this is offensive to people who love their iPhones, but I really feel like it's hard for any company, Samsung, Google, Apple, to do anything with a phone that is so different, so new, that you're going to say, God, I have to have that. But Apple still wants to put out a new phone every year and get you to buy it. And I frankly don't think that we're seeing much major innovation. We're seeing minor now incremental improvements in the cameras, in the screens, in the speed, but nothing that you would say, I have to have. And so what I think is happening, especially with Apple, Apple's decided we're a fashion brand, not a technology brand. The way we're going to get you to buy a new phone, we can't do it with specs alone, is we're going to make them look really different. Or, you know, the same way they put fins on Cadillacs in the 50s. You know, the car industry wasn't making any advances. After a certain point, what they did is they started to make every model look a little different. And so what Apple's done here with the 8 is that's really not much of a difference from the S7. The iPhone 10 looks so different that people are going to say, oh, I don't think they're buying the 8. It's not, they don't want the technology. I don't think the technology is that much improved, not $1,000 worth. They want something that looks like the new phone. And that's, in my opinion, why Apple's done that notch. Because you can look at it from a distance and immediately know, oh, that person's cool. She has the new iPhone.
That's why they did the notch, not because they had to put the technology up there.
There's no reason.
I thought the infrared, the depth sensing camera.
Yeah, but you could do it on the Note 8, right?
The Face ID camera. It's a different special camera.
There's room on the Note 8. You just don't start. You don't start the screen till underneath that. Right. You don't have to put the little horns on there.
Yeah.
That's a distinctive feature that makes it so that you can tell. See, they could have done it like the mock-up on the right. Uh-huh. Right? And you still have all room for all that stuff. It looked just like a Note 8, but it wouldn't look different enough. Mm-hmm. And so Apple's doing these horns. Not because they have to technologically, in my opinion, but because it's a fashion statement. And really, a lot of the reason people buy the new phone is because they want other people to say, oh, you have the new phone. It's a status thing.
And so that's the red dot on the...
It's the red dot on the watch. It proves my point. Mm-hmm. That watch isn't significantly different. I mean, LTE is different, but not so much so that you might want to run out and buy a new watch. But the red dot, now that's different. Mm-hmm. So I have status. I'm buying the latest thing. Anyway, that's my opinion. I know it pisses people off, but that's just my thought.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's where we are now. I don't think you're seeing massive changes in technology.
And I don't know that we need it. We don't need it. We have everything we need in this little computer that we keep in our pocket.
It's, again, custom silicon. This is amazing what they're doing with this thing. It's so much faster, but you don't need it. What are you doing with all that speed?
Yeah. All right. Here's a question from Rob. The other day, I had family over, and a few of us recently updated to iOS 11. My brother needed my Wi-Fi password, and on my mom's phone, a thing popped up asking to share my Wi-Fi password to my brother. She clicked share, and boom, he was on my network. Yet it never came on my phone to share, nor could I replicate it again. Have you guys ever seen this? Because I haven't.
Is that cool?
This is very cool. Do you want to show it off? Because we have a little demo network that I can share.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So this is a feature of iOS 11.
Right.
And so everybody has to be iOS 11 for this to work.
Mm-hmm.
What do I have to do? Request it?
Okay, so can you see where's the best way for you to see both of our phones?
There you go.
So you want to go on Twit. Try to go to Twit Demo 5.
Okay, so I am going to join a new Wi-Fi network. I was wondering what that Twit Demo 5 was.
Twit Demo 5.
That looks like a great network. Five?
Twit Demo 5.
There it is. I'd sure like to join that network, but wait a minute. I don't know what the password is.
Okay, and so something should show up on mine because we're very close to each other. Theoretically. Oh, come on. So... I don't think it's going to work.
Anyway, that's how it works.
So, well, we just you're right. Sometimes you see it and sometimes you don't. It's like what I suggested earlier with
the
Twitter.
Seen it once.
Sometimes you get 280 characters, sometimes you get 140 characters.
I see it.
It's the spice of life.
Spice of life.
Mm-hmm.
I think Apple's doing that thing about the random one.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Sometimes
whatever.
You get it.
By the way,
sometimes you don't.
Feel how hot my phone is. It's really been trying hard.
Oh, yeah.
Trying really hard to join that network.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's good. I'm just going to keep this right here because my hips get so sore. Okay. Well, that just about does it for this episode of the Screensavers. Anything else we should do?
I don't know. Let's start over and do it again.
Can we do it better this time? Did Saul already leave? All right.
He did.
If you're going to edit this all out, right? Tidy it up.
Yeah.
Make it tight.
We should bring the dogs back out. But did he take all the treats?
Where's Daisy and what's the other one's name?
Jax? And Violet.
No, they don't need treats. They just need me. If they smell my breath, they'll know. I've been eating them. Hey, we want to thank you for joining us. Oh, come here, Jax. Yes, come here, Jax. Leo's going to give you treats. Here, you do that.
Okay.
Oh, they're licking their lips.
Oh,
do they do the thing where you say sit, and then you put it on their forehead, and then they sit there? And nice. Oh, you shouldn't have too many treats. It's bad for you. Good boy. Oh, thank you, Jax.
Here.
Thank you, Daisy.
Leo, sit.
Put it on my head. this thing is falling apart real quick here.
I think it's already apart.
Yeah. Thank you all. We had a good time today.
Yes.
I know this.
Subscribe to the show.
It was not the most fun thing for you, but boy, we had a good time. If you want to get the show, by the way, I should point out, some things have changed in the world. Used to be if you had an Amazon Echo, you could watch us on your Echo show, or if you get the new Echo alarm clock, by saying, Echo, watch the new Screensavers. That's the sound you'll get. No, watch the new Screensavers on YouTube. YouTube, just a couple of days ago, Google said, we're not going to do that anymore. And then the rumor is that's because Google's going to do their own screen-based Google Home. For whatever reason, maybe Amazon and Google have to work out their differences. You can't do that anymore to watch our show on your screen-based Echo device. But you can still listen. And I want to encourage everybody, if you want to hear us do the shows live, we do it every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Actually, you could start a little earlier, hear us rehearsing and getting set for the show, hear all the really good stuff. All you have to do is say Echo, or whatever the trigger word is for your Amazon Echo. Echo, listen to Twit Live on TuneIn. TuneIn's the provider, just like YouTube was a provider. TuneIn's the provider that provides the audio. And if you want to hear any episode of any of our shows, all you have to do is say, Echo, listen to the new Screensavers on TuneIn. It'll play the most recent episode. That's what I do. Nowadays, I feel like that's the easiest way to listen to a podcast, right? I love that. Just the key is to understand, listen to the new Screensavers on TuneIn. On TuneIn's the key to that. You can also, of course, subscribe, use your favorite podcast appliance, and make sure you get every episode, or just go to our website, twit.tv/NSS, and you can get a copy of every show that we do, including this audio and video, at twit.tv/NSS. Megan Maroney, we will see you next on Tuesday, right?
Tuesday,
9 a.m. Pacific.
9 a.m. Pacific. You're going to be here, right?
I will be here on time. I'll be here 10 minutes early.
Okay.
Noon Eastern, because I'm jet lagged. Noon Eastern and for iOS today. And, of course, we'll see you back here soon on the new Screensavers, I hope.
I hope so, too. I don't know if I'll be invited back after this show, but...
No, it was all me, not you. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on the new Screensavers. Bye-bye, everybody. Taking my jerky. Wow, listen to that. Wow.